Let's open our Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter today. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain and after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she had happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with the maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I've commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages, be full from the Lord, then God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and left some. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after, and she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." And again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative, and he's one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "Further, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can gather here in the house of the Lord this morning. God, I thank you that we can gather as a body. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come and guide and direct this time. Open our hearts to hear what it is that you have for each of us today. Lord, guide what I have to share. And Lord, we just ask that your presence be made known to us this morning. In name we pray, amen. So as I was reading through Ruth 2 yesterday, and I was really starting to think, what are the things that really stand out to me? And actually, the very first thing that stood out to me, we see God's heart for the poor. Right? You actually see Boaz living out God's commandments. In Deuteronomy 24:19, it says, "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." And then we see in Leviticus 19:9-10, similarly, the same idea. "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." And I was thinking, you know, the book of Ruth takes place during Judges, right? We know that during the time of Judges, the people are becoming increasingly wicked, right? Each generation worse and worse and worse. And I mean, I read one place that they think Ruth took place during Gideon, but we're not 100% sure. We do know that it takes place during the time of Judges. And here we have a man, though not everyone was probably wicked, but we have a man who stands out. A man, even in his society that was going against the ways of God, that he is choosing to follow the law. He's choosing to love the neighbor, right? We get a picture here that the law, you know, we've been talking about the law, is it you have to or you get to? But here we see Boaz, that love comes out for other people. Right? The law is a vessel in which we love God, we show God honor and respect, but it also allows us to love people. God's heart for people is shown. Right? And I was thinking, how do we leave barley on the ground or grapes on the ground? Like, none of us, okay, I shouldn't say none of us, but I'm assuming none of us in this room are farmers as our occupation, right? That doesn't apply in the same way today. Right, and I don't actually have a direct answer, but maybe it's instead of going out and spending extra money on a nice meal or a nice purse or on a nice trip, you know, we're giving that money to the poor. You know, like when we think about where we're spending, where our time, our money, our heart, is the poor the leftover? Now, I mean, here it is the leftover, but we see Boaz saying, actually, pull extra down, right? He's saying, give her more than just what's on the ground. What are we just giving what we don't want to spend, you know, our pennies? And I was thinking, you know, it's not just money, right? It's time. If I have time, am I going to give to the foreigner, the poor? And I think this is very important for the time we live in, especially for me as an American, when I see what's going on at home. You know, there's this so much tension, and it's not just the United States. You see it in Europe. Right? You see all, you know, I mean, Brexit happened a lot because they just wanted to control who was coming into their country. But as Christians, are we loving the foreigner or are we seeing skin deep only? Are we seeing a person for who God created them to be? Or are we seeing them as what they look like, how they act, what they eat, maybe even sometimes how they smell? You know, because, you know, yesterday I gave Ealing a blanket back that she let me have when she left for her sabbatical. And the first thing she did, she held it, she goes, "Oh, it smells like you." I'm like, "So it smells like Tide, and it smells like my fabric softener," right? And to be fair, that's been sitting on my chair, so it's my other clothes that have been pouring it down. But there's a smell even. And, you know, I remember, I've seen on the trains here in Hong Kong, I remember, this was maybe 10 years ago, 13 years ago, I was sitting on the MTR, and this woman sat down, and she was an African. She sat down on the train, and I can't remember if the person was a man or a woman that she sat next to, and that person got up and moved. And so, I mean, okay, I sometimes get up and move if someone sits right next to me and there's more space somewhere else. But then I watched this play out. The other woman got up and followed her and sat down. And then the woman got up and moved. And something, and you could tell, the picture's so blatant in my mind still, that this, you saw the whole train car watching, and it became very evident that the woman that was moving wasn't moving because someone was sitting next to her. It's because of who was sitting next to her. Someone that didn't look like her, didn't smell like her, didn't behave like her, and she continued to move. I see it consistently. There's a guy in Kennedy Town who I often am on the train with who clearly has mental illness. I've seen children videotaping him on the train when he's having one of his episodes. I see people move away from him, you know, because they're, I mean, maybe they're afraid, but there's so much, there's fear, there's discrimination that's clearly happening and it's ingrained. And we see that God, and maybe I'm taking some liberties to extend this, but God is definitely telling, let's take care of those people who are not maybe as privileged as us, doesn't look like us, doesn't come from our land, you know? And it's one of these times where we get to see how God is starting to incorporate his love for the world, right? We get so focused on God and Israel, up through the Old Testament. But here again, we see God's provision for those who are not Israel, who are not of Abraham's seed directly, physically. You know, and so this morning, you know, as we really think about how we see people, do we see people for their jobs, for their economic standings, from their home countries? Or do we see people as, well, I mean, children of God, but also people God love? Because not everyone believes in God yet, but God definitely loves people. And how are we treating them? And here we see Boaz treating Ruth beyond the law. He goes above what the law prescribed. He doesn't do the bare minimum. And so that ties into what the other thing God was showing me is the importance of character. Right? Boaz is a man of noble character. We see that in Ruth 2:11. Right? When he finds out the story, he shows Ruth generosity. He is a man of generosity. He makes that provision for Ruth to gather in his field. He takes care of her. He protects her, right? He tells her, stay here, because something could happen to her if he goes to another field, right? That should give us an indication, right? The people around Boaz are not of the same character per se, right? We're at a time of judges, and he said, don't go to those other fields. I can't vouch that things will be good for you there, right? And he also blesses her. He wants to give her refreshment. He's like, you may drink of my water. Now, that might not seem like, you know, a big deal, but that's a really big deal that he's giving of his stuff. It's not just she goes around the exterior picking up leftovers. She gets to have what his maidservants, the same treatment as the people that are in his employment, I guess would be the word I would use. Boaz prays for her. He desires for God to bless her, that God will reward her. You know, and I was reading one article that said, there's no hint when Boaz does, except for the blessing part, when Boaz is putting the provisions to take care of her, to feed for the water, there's no hint of any romantic views on her yet. That comes in a few verses later that you might say when he's feeding her at the table, giving her food, that's our first indication that he might see her a little bit differently, right? But he's doing this because this is who Boaz is. He is a man of who's like God. You get my meaning. We'll see later in a minute what he is also. Charles Spurgeon says this, in the same way, older Christians should be like Boaz until younger Christians who are like Ruth. Observe that he saluted her with words of tender encouragement, for this is precisely what I want all the elder Christians among you to do to those who are counterparts of Ruth. I want you to make a point of looking out for the young converts and speaking to them godly words and comfortable words, whereby they may be cheered and strengthened. Right? We see Ruth has come to Israel. In the last chapter, she said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people, I'll go where you will go. That was her words to Naomi. And Boaz has never left Israel from what we know. He's in Bethlehem. right? And he's treating her. And Charles Spurgeon's like, this is what more mature Christians, how we should be treating. It's encouraging. It should be uplifting to give a place to new believers of refreshing. We also see the importance of Ruth's character. It's her character that makes her stand out to Boaz. It's her character. You know, and I'm just going to, I was like, oh, should I say this or not? But I was watching, I don't know how this linked to another video, but it was, I was researching Ruth too, and then I was, somehow I got linked to Priscilla Shear's video about things men want women to know, and then what women want men to know. I was like, I don't know how that was in the links, but it was. So I was listening, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I don't agree with everything. It's a very, it's very one-sided perspective on how it should be done. But one of the things that came out was, what was it that attracted you to your wife? But if you look here, we keep seeing it's the character of Ruth. It's the character of Ruth, right? It's the character of Boaz that captures the attention of Ruth. What is it? Now, I mean, physical is very important too. Don't get me wrong. But if we're so trapped in the physical, not just about your spouse, but about people, right? Oh, they look or they act the way, like in person, what we like. Oh, they're this, that, or the next thing. But are we looking at who they are really? And in that video, one of the women said, it's not about who's on stage. Because you could, they're like, the people on stage are not always the people we should be dating. It's the people who are consistently in their private life demonstrating who God is that we want to eventually marry or build relationship as a friend with, right? Are we taking time to cultivate our inner being, right? And that's not just for marriage. It's also for friendships and employment and every aspect of our life. And finally, the thing God pointed out and highlighted to me was God's invisible hand at work. I was watching the Bible Project, and the narrator said, in this passage, we get to see the just so happens take place. These things that just so happen, right, to take place in this passage. Just so happens that it happens to be the beginning of barley harvest, right? So Ruth will be looking for a farmer who has barley, which just so happens to be Boaz. Ruth goes to pick barley. She just happens to pick barley from Boaz's field. And Boaz just so happens to be a relative of Naomi. We see God working in the normal, everyday situations. God's hand is at work. Actually, in this passage, the narrator never once talks about God. The characters talk about God. They bring God up. But the narrator, the author, never mentions God in his own voice, right? We get to see how God is working in our ordinary, everyday lives when we don't necessarily recognize it, right? Boaz is her kinsman redeemer, and I know we've talked a lot about that in church before, but this is just a cultural practice in Israel for a person's, if a person's husband died, and a wife is left behind, children are left behind, or land is left behind, the kinsman redeemer was responsible to marry that widow, to take care of the land, to take care of their children. Basically, it's God's way of helping protect and redeem this person. And Boaz just so happens to be that person. You know, Naomi and Elimelech left because of famine, and Boaz stayed. And even during famine, we see how God protected Boaz. When we are called to stay, can we trust that God will take care of us? I'm not saying you will be wealthy or have the best jobs, but can we trust that God is with us and he will bless us spiritually? You may be blessed financially, but that is not what our desire should be. Are we able to take a moment to step back and see how God is working in those difficult situations in our lives? Those times that we think, what are you doing? Are you even there? In chapter 1, Naomi's like, God's hand came against me. God's against me. Call me Mara, right? Call me bitter. And yet at the very end of chapter 2, we see Naomi start to have some hope. May it be, do I have a future? In this bitterness, in this time of difficulty, she starts to see and recognize, and she points to God. She's like, is God recognizing me? Is this God at work? Right? Do I have hope for a future? You know, the chapter starts with Ruth and Naomi talking about, where am I even going to get food? Basically, how am I going to live? Are we going to survive? Are we going to go hungry? To what might God do next? You know, in your life, if God is working, we may not always get to see it. You know, we may not always get to understand what's happening behind the scenes. You know, Naomi and Boaz and Ruth would have no clue what God was actually doing in their lives. They would die and not know that God was using them to bring about a greater redemption plan. We may not always get to see in our lifetime all the things that God is doing through our difficulties, through our struggles, but we can trust that God is taking care of us. So I'm going to ask Matthew to come up. And this morning, I just want you to take a moment and just ask God to show you, give you a small glimpse of what is it that he's doing in those areas of your life of difficulty. What is he doing? And maybe he probably is not going to give you the whole picture. But ask for a glimpse, just a glimpse. Ask him to be that refreshing water that Boaz offered Ruth. Let God, let Jesus, Holy Spirit be that living, refreshing water to nurture you and restore you this morning. So just allow God to speak to you.
How deep the Father's love.
It was let your heart overflow right now in thanksgiving as you worship Him. Worship Him this morning for His goodness, for His love. Let the love of the Father just come over you this morning as you meditate on the cross and on the person Jesus. Fix your eyes upon the cross and just say, yes, Father, you have love for us, God. We acknowledge your love. We receive your love that you poured out on the cross by giving up your Son, the love of the Father, and giving up the Son. Yes, God. Yes, Father. You're a good, good Father that gives.
As we were worshiping, God was like, He spoke to me, He said, you know, Boaz gave above what I asked, but how much more have I given than Boaz? Boaz is a glimpse of what God does. God does so much more. And so if you're struggling this morning, or whenever you're listening to this, to understand the abundance of God's love, it's beyond what you can ever fathom. It's beyond what we can ever understand. And God just wants you to know how much He loves you and wants to pour out for you and how much He's already done for you. So before we just go into a time of prayer for our community, let's just give a moment of thanks to God for all that He has done. You know, as an act of praise, but also as an act of reminding ourselves of God's work in our life. Pray for those who are battling cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to be upon each of these people's lives. Pray for those who are sick but also need salvation. Let's just pray for them to encounter God and be saved. pray for those in our community who are battling other infirmities. Let's just pray for healing and a recovery during this time. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's just pray that God will provide in His timing, and that during this time of waiting, that God will just continue to minister to them in the areas that He's ministering to them. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for our church plants, SP Singapore, Spin, Spill, and SP New York. Let's pray for their leaders. Let's pray for their people, especially as SP New York and SPSG are still in lockdown for a while. Let's pray for their people to continue to just be nurtured and nourished by God. Lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for all the teachers and the kids that during this time of coming back to church, that they will just really be able to hear from you and just really know the goodness of you in their lives. And let's cover the teachers as they may be spending time with these various groups, helping them through and process everything that's been going on in Hong Kong the last year and in the world in the last few months with COVID. And let's just pray that the kids can just, and the young adults can really just know this is a place they can come and that it's safe. Of our prayer and healing teams, IP, The Well, and River. Let's just pray that God will just continue to use our members as they minister to each, to our church and to our body. And let's just pray for our leaders, Matt, Cadence, and Ayoung, as they just are leading these different groups. Pray for our evening outreaches, SP Lights, Homies. Even though these are suspended for right now, let's just pray that God, one, is giving our members some rest, but two, that when they come back, that God is really going to be just working through them. Let's pray for the families that we minister to, that even in this season, God is still speaking to them and providing for their needs. Let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's just pray for great encounters with God. Let's pray for their leaders, their hosts. Let's just pray that they will just be able to grow deeper together. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's lift up, you know, today is the 4th, and that brings up a lot of heart and a lot of things that people are questioning. And so let's just pray for peace during today. Let's pray for people to just be able to trust and learn about God. And let's just pray for our city that that Jesus will come down and he will be the solution to what's going on. Yeah, so God, we just thank you that you are a God who redeems, that you're a God who pours out lavishly on us, Lord, that you're not a God who holds back, but you're a God who wants to give us good gifts, Lord, and you wanted to give us you, your Holy Spirit, your Son. Lord, we just pray, God, that you will just show us today what it is you're calling us to do, Lord, what you're doing, and that we can join in with you. God, help us just to know that you are with us even when we can't see it, even when we're struggling, God, or even in the good times, God, that we still remember all you've done. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to be our guide, Lord, that you'll that we can remember that you are our Father, you are our provider, and that you love us beyond imagine. In name we pray, amen. May you just have a great and wonderful day, and hope to see you tomorrow.